I'm very late.
Yeah, but that's, you know, why even mention it now? This is just
Because I want to tell the world I was at an audition.
But you do this every time
we do a podcast. I was at a very important audition.
Okay.
For my life.
So we had Derek Beckles on the podcast today. It's, you know what? I think it's a feather in the podcast's cap to have someone like Derek Beckles come down and just shoot the shit with us and talk about the world inside his mind.
Right, yeah. You get a taste of sitting down with Derek, having a pint of cider or coffee with him.
Yeah, he was...
Don't have a pint of coffee. That's a lot of coffee.
Is it, though? Not really.
Really?
Nah, some days it's like that for me.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, Derek Beckles, he has been on the podcast before, specifically episode 68.
Appearance number 2 from Derek Beckles.
One more, and this guy is in the Black Coffee Brigade.
And he talks about some awesome stuff in the episode.
I don't want to blow it for everybody here.
No, won't tell you, but TV Carnage gets more discussed.
Yeah, his CV is quite impressive. TV Carnage. What did he do in Vice? Head writer?
No, I think he was kind of almost an unofficial. Major contributor. That's right. And then he became a personality on VBS and you know, he did some other stuff a long time ago. But in Vice, I think that a lot of the voice of the sort of maybe late 90s or early, even just the earliest days of Vice into the, you know, mid 2000s, you know, Derek's voice, as much as, say, Gavin McInnes's voice, and some, it really contributed to when you would laugh at Vice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And because of that, you know, Vice has become such an influence in pop culture these days.
Not that we talk about Vice, by the way.
But still.
But it's good that he should be.
His voice and his brand of humor, his way of thinking has, because through Vice and now through Adult Swim, has had quite an influence on, I think, pop culture in general. That could be giving him a lot of credit, but I think it's true. You know, he does these TV Carnage DVDs or shows or clips or episodes. And he's a really good representative of television, because he's almost evidence that TV makes a lot of TV watching can actually make you smart.
Yeah, I mean, if you do it in a certain way, couple it with a lot of things, and
I use him as an example, you know, so it justifies my childhood that I spent in front of the idiot tube.
If you're watching TV, but you're also making a zine and, you know, getting out there.
Absolutely.
But now with the internet, it's all different, you know? I think these kids are so genius. They're, like, associating with moments in television. You know, the big thing are GIFs with, like, a subtitle. They're catching the smallest moments, you know? If you go on Tumblr, it's all about these mini moments.
But it's the simmer, man. You got to sit there. And the patience it takes.
But I would say that Derek's approach actually is kind of more in line with the finding those tiny moments. Maybe the simmer is there, but it's...
But he did it through learning, you know, and patience and watching hours and hours on end and nobody editing it for
him. If we can save the next generation time by encouraging them to find the good moments instead of sitting in front of every TV, that's not bad.
Yeah, No, I don't know, because I really feel that...
they'll do more work. It won't make them not work.
Well, how I feel like I'm an outsider to pop culture at times is the endless amount of hours I spent bored out of my mind watching boring television and just having the chance to analyze it in some sort of subconscious way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
I mean, I know what you're talking about. You get up so early in the morning because you like cartoons that you're watching The Farm Report for no reason. That's something I remember doing when I was a kid.
Or you're home for summer vacation and there's nothing on at 2 in the afternoon, so you got to watch either a game show or some soap opera you don't even know the storyline of.
You're watching Donahue or my Montel Williams. That was how I discovered Jerry Springer, was being sick at home one day at like 11 a.m. And, I mean, Jerry Springer in the 1990s was... not, it was more like a heightened version of Geraldo than anything else. It was, they would pit people who were basically racists on both sides of the spectrums and have them as guests on the show at the same time. And they'd had Gigi Allen famously on it, and Gwar, and
all kinds of,
that was how I discovered
crazy people,
crazy stuff. Yeah. Yeah. But anyways,
yeah, so Derek basically took all of that and turned it into the, what would you say TV Carnage is?
TV like, Carnage is a distillation of
the every best slash worst of moment. Television.
Yeah, right. and not insane, as he gets into in the podcast, in a talk soup kind of roundup kind of way.
Yeah.
You know.
And then he's graduated to Hot Package, which kind of takes the idea of TV Carnage to the next level.
Yeah, it packages it hotly, guys.
And it also is a glimpse inside of Derek Beckel's mind. And what I gather from watching it, and I've seen a few episodes and I've seen a lot of clips,
mm-hmm.
I feel comfortable in Derek's world. And here we go. Here's Derek Beckles. The Daniel Jones podcast is the best around. They play the Guinness Daniels, go out there, love for free. I'm so glad I like to sometimes. Get me in from fucked up. Stop playing. Hang down. Down. Nick Flanagan sometimes joins Danko and co-hosts the podcast, and it's a real treat listening to Nick and Danko banter back and forth. I'm a huge fan of Nick's old punk bands, the Brutal Knights and Teen Crud Combo, and I've seen his stand-up comedy several times as well, and he is really funny. When the weather is bad and there's nothing much to do, take a listen, would you now, to what Danko Jones would do. It's the middle of the night and you better do it fast. Turn the speakers up loud for Danko's podcast. Well, last time you were here, Derek Beckles is here. Last time Derek was here.
White comedian, Derek Beckles.
We had our fingers crossed that...
He's white, but he has blackface permanently. It's a weird thing. You're going to have to delete that whole part.
What are you doing to this, man? I didn't record the conversation before.
Yeah. I was just discussing how I committed to blackface
for life.
But I did a thing on Super Deluxe years ago where I was wearing blackface or a darker brown face, and then they're like, we can't show that. And then when I took my makeup off, they're like, oh shit, you yeah. really committed to this. You are a blackface. And then they're like, we really can't show this now.
They took away your card. Your race card. They gave you the race card.
They gave me the race deck. They were playing with a full race deck. All I had was one race card.
Have you ever had your race cards read?
Yes.
I got the Hangman. I'm worried.
My race cards had like a cute little Indy 500
vehicles right. on all them. Of the dead
all
men.
Black.
All blackened. Looking like the charred remains of Luke Skywalker's family.
Speaking of which, since we've gone this far off, yeah. Maybe I mentioned this last time, but it's one of my favorite things. I just mention it whenever I have a chance. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of cars, and since you've asked me about the favorite license plate that I've ever wanted to have.
Yeah, that was a question.
It was for this girl I was dating named Kate Wharton, and I wanted to get her I went to get her, but they wouldn't let me have the license that said NGR LVR.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah, they wouldn't let you.
That doesn't spell out anything, really.
No, I mean, on bumper stumpers, they would have no problem figuring that one out.
Yeah, I think
Wheel of Fortune. I love how you just throw that out.
Wheel of Fortune, that would be a difficult round. Mm-hmm. Or people with Glee would spell it out. I don't know. I do know that you could get out of it. You could say, I went to Niger. I thought it was wonderful.
Yes.
There were tapirs.
First time I saw Niger on a map when I was a kid, I was like, no way!
Yeah, it's so stupid, right?
No way!
So the last time Derek was here, we had our fingers crossed that Hot Package was going to be renewed, and it has been for a second season. Do we have to cross our fingers for yet another time?
Fingers are always, when you're on Adult Swim, everybody's body contorts into a crossed finger.
Hoping.
But things are looking good for a third season.
Wow.
And then if that happens, when that happens, there's going to be a Carnival of Delights. I've mapped out another season and all the extraordinary people I want on it.
Well, you really ramped it up on season two, which I haven't seen at all because I I only get hot package
updates. Word is,
updates.
You've ramped it up.
I feel like
on
I did
Instagram.
See a few.
Hmm. On Instagram, well, I just get the clips.
Here's the problem. I think it's still a problem in Canada with getting it through the proper channels, which is why everybody just goes, screw that, I'm just going to find it on the web and download it.
Can you do that?
But it's even been cheated on the web a bit because now, for years now, they have that thing where if you want to watch a full episode of something, you have to like give your service provider. Right. On TV, so it's like you can't even, you just have to watch clips. So most
what
shows,
is this, Canada?
Yeah, exactly. It's like most shows are just the clips of right. From shows. So I've seen a lot of Nathan For You, but there's certain newer episodes where I've just seen like it as a form of clips. Andy Daly's review. I mean, those are on TV, but literally no one has a TV. When are they going to face facts about TV? And ratings and stuff, and it's just you can't measure it the same way anymore.
I think Rob Ford's trying his best.
He's not. I saw him at the Dairy Queen earlier today. He was not at work.
You really ramped up the stars on the second season.
I did. I mean, there's in the Hot Package universe, which is an extension of the TV Carnage universe. I really like a particular type of celebrity, and those are usually the people who have made very interesting choices in their careers and in their abilities.
Are they in on the joke? Are they in on the joke when they get on set? Do they know what's going on?
No. I tell them as little as possible. This year I had Heidi Fleiss and Fabio. And
does Fabio not know what's up?
I think Fabio knows that he sold spray-on butter and that he was like... He has to know that he sold spray-on butter and that he was on a show called El Capoco Heath and said they just gave him one-syllable words to say constantly. He was very sweet. I mean, you know, he's... But, you know, him, Heidi Fleiss, I chopped off Pat O'Brien's head this season.
McGrath?
Had it delivered to me in a box. Mark McGrath.
Mark
is
McGrath
on the first.
Knows what's up, right?
Mark McGrath was fantastic. Mark McGrath got a little bit upset because when the show came out, there was a press release sent out saying that Mark McGrath died on a set. And then it was all over the news for a day. And then I got a phone call from the network. They're like, what the fuck is this all about?
The press release like, you had nothing to do with, right?
I had nothing to do with. And then I...
But his participation on the show, he's down with that, right?
Like, he's totally down with it. Yeah. That's it. The only,
he's just not down with
it. How about Corey
dead.
Feldman?
He wasn't happy about being dead. I mean, he, for probably, I presume, for like 4 or 5 hours of that day, he was a ghost dad.
Yeah.
Taking his kids to school. They probably knew before he did that he was dead.
He's back.
But how about Corey Feldman? Does Corey Feldman know what's up? Like, was he down with the whole...
Corey Feldman showed up and he was, again, you know, it's like Los Angeles is like a 3D TV carnage. It's a rent-a-human. So people just go like, I want 1,000 gazillion. And then you go, how about 50 bucks? And you're like, or that.
Right.
So
they're like, it's a day's work.
Yeah.
You're gonna have a little more money for going into a room for like half the day.
Exactly. I mean, and you know, there's still I mean, being on Adult Swim can't be a bad thing for anybody, you know, if you're
right.
If you had glory of a particular era or are still trying to have glory, it's like. So he showed up, and he was really great and everything, except he, you know, he was supposed to be like this preacher, and then he was turning it on to a certain way that we're just like, I don't know if this is really going to be
the Meatballs 4 type of
it was
comedic,
Meatballs
the funny
4.
Bone.
So I was like, okay, great, let's do that. And then he was sitting with Jeff Dean Turner and...
Right.
Jeremy Ebenstein.
Jeremy Ebenstein.
He's this new discovery I've made.
Is he the singer man? The young
he's
singer?
He's the guy who sings. He sounds like Michael McDonald.
Right.
But he looks like the guy who came in like 17th in a Gene Wilder lookalike contest. He's awesome.
Just because he walked in a hat. Like it's his hat that most resembled.
So he was great. I did a video recently for Dirty Ghosts that
That's fun video. It's a cool video.
The kids loved, and Jeremy's in that
for
the
song Cataract.
For the song Cataract. Allison Baker.
Allison Baker.
Jeff Turner, you mentioned.
Jeffine Turner.
What the fuck is that guy's deal, man? Is from real?
Yeah, he was. I think we talked about this before, but he was like from a. He was from a movie called
I Think We're Alone.
I Think We're Alone Now. And he was enamored with Tiffany, and he kept talking to. I mean, the documentary is about these two guys who are in love with Tiffany, and Jeff is one of them. But he's also encyclopedic about every possible star. And then he'll go off on tangents that you're just like, this is fascinating. Not sure if it's possible.
Right.
But it's fascinating. I don't know if there is
lots of mafia
spaceship
in
the estuaries of Central Park that only him and Alyssa Milano know the location of.
Yeah, he's an Alyssa Milano stalker, too.
She, yes. I wouldn't say stalker. I'd say
that's too negative a word.
I would say he's the celebrity expert on Hot Package.
Yeah. Yeah, he just knows everything about all of the celebrities. It's most creepy to know everything about.
Yeah.
Alyssa Milano, probably Candace Cameron. I'm going to put that out there. He probably has a few facts about Candace Cameron.
He knows, like, he's got in Natalie Wood. He's convinced. Now, this is when I was like, okay, Jeff, we got to stop talking about this. This is too crazy to talk about. He thinks Robert Wagner has nothing to do with her death.
No way.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
That's crazy.
Was it Christopher Walken?
I felt like I was talking to somebody who thinks OJ killed his wife.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, you're one of those people.
He's a big Natalie Wood aficionado. Yeah.
He likes Natalie Wood a lot. But he was, but going back, Corey Feldman got trapped with these guys, and I was just loving it. I was just like licking my lips. And so we just rolled on it. I told the camera guys to, the people who, they're called camera guys in the business. I told the camera guys to roll on it.
Guys, I'm not surprised they're called guys. This is 2015. We can't have
male or female. They're called guys. I can't do anything about it. It's the union rules. So I told the camera guys to roll on it, and they rolled on it. And he was just being like attacked by. It was a gangbang conversation with him in the center, and he was conversationally being bukkake.
Spit roasted
and bukkake by Jan Terry, Jeff Dean Turner, Jeremy Evanson, and Jennifer Day.
How'd you get Jan Terry? I didn't know that.
This is your second, she was in your first season, right?
Oh,
was she?
She was, I interviewed her in the first season, and then I was like, I need to have her back.
What do you do? Do you just like sit on a throne and go, and just log on to the internet and go, I want her.
Yeah, it's a really,
I want this guy. Like, it's an amazing thing to be able to.
It's a throne made from burlap and thistle. I spray painted it gold.
Yeah, it's a reimagined throne.
Like, do you go like, you have sessions like, I want like Carmine from Laverne and Shirley.
Great idea.
Make it happen.
Yeah. You know who I was looking for? And if you're listening, because I know you are. Larry from Three's Company.
Oh, Richard Klein.
Richard Klein. And somebody gave me his card.
Yeah.
Because all you have to do is mention a name in Los Angeles and somebody pulls a card out and the person.
He's out there, man.
He teaches some sort of acting class.
I am obsessed with Three's Company.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way you can't be. It's like, it was very honest in what it was, which is something I'm still trying to figure out what the fuck it was. And then
the colors were interesting.
It was just tit jokes and falling down. Yeah. It was like Benny Hill for dumb people.
Bridging. It was a bridging role for Don Knotts, right? Yeah. Like sort of.
Wait, yeah, are you guys cutting down Three's Company?
No, I'm just saying. No. When I say dumb people, I mean very smart people.
How about Judith Light?
Judith Light, another great one. Hey, 13-year-olds, if you're still hanging in there, there's more to come.
Judith Light was kind of like Judith Light, Wendy
Malick. Judith Light, I love Judith
Wendy
Light.
Malick is in that world, I feel, you know.
Do you know when I first saw Judith Light on TV when I was a kid, I was like, that's a man. I was convinced, and I was like, when are they? I guess this show's about them not knowing that's a man. And
doesn't then I was, who's the boss? Like
that's what I thought was going on. I was like, I guess he's like secretly pretending he's dead and he's come back as a woman, and these people are going to find out. I'm not sure what the payoff is yet. And I kept watching. to find out what the payoff would be, and there wasn't one.
Yeah, the payoff.
And then I realized when I got older, I just naturally evolved into a person that was capable of jerking off to Judith Light.
Right. Yeah.
And then I was like, well, she is kind of attractive. Yeah. I kind of like this vibe.
She looks like she was born in a tobacco field or something. Like in the bar, in a pack of cigarettes.
Oh God, man, you're speaking about the woman that I jerk off to.
Who but might we'll, be on a Hot Package Season 4.
Yeah, but what's horrible to say about that is that, like, we also were so conditioned to say that kind of thing about Judith Light because she was the constant butt of, you are tall, you are a man, you are gross, in Who's the Boss. Wasn't that the thing?
She's kind of hot, though, is what I'm getting back at.
I can't remember the ongoing jokes about
but
each
she did
character.
Fall in love with Tony at the end.
Yeah, I think they married, didn't they?
I'm trying to, I'll tell you who I'm trying to get. Kelly LeBrock.
Nice.
That would be good.
That'd be great. Anybody who's slept with Steven Seagal is welcome on my show.
Did you really?
She was married to him. She must
have. I did not know that.
Yeah. He had to at least have, I mean, potentially choked her at least once in bed while ramming the daylights out of her.
Would you ever have, like, how could you get Steven Seagal? Do you ever try to map out, like...
I've interviewed Steven Seagal, Steven Seagal, on the Radio Machine. It was like a few years ago, and I started asking about Arsenio, and he got very prickly.
What the fuck you asked me about?
He was like, I want to talk about that. And I was like, but you did say it was like your life could be in danger. What do you mean by that? And he's like, this is gonna be over if we keep talking about this. It's kind of doing like a Clint Eastwood mixed with.
Do you think he has a shot to be Trump's running mate? Possibly Steven Seagal,
Seagal. That would be a Trump. Ticket. That'd be quite a ticket. I mean, that's a movie I'd go see. That's people who I'd want to have run a country. That's everything. That's an ice cream flavor. That is all kinds of shit I'd be interested in.
They would be. That's like an interesting thing about. I feel if you vote in someone like even Donald Trump to the presidency, you'll really get a sense of the life of leisure that they lead, and that they're like the way that Rob Ford would never come into work.
Yeah,
these guys would do that if they were president, but they would be president.
I honestly think that if Seagal got to that level of have people having to deal with him, he would. I'm sure. Trump would just nod at him, and he would have no problem grabbing people by the throat and picking them up. I just think he'd just be like, and America would be kick ass again and start getting shit done. Because for some reason, I do believe people. It's the American politics is just it's this weird S&M kind of fucking thing where the world's like, yeah, we hate you because. You're such a bully, but secretly everybody wants a little bit of a choking and a spanking.
We want to be bullied, and we want to bully. So really, you're fulfilling every aspect of our dream.
I think the world's going back around to can I just get a little smack on the tushy and a little bit of a choke, please?
Right. Well, because from Obama, they're just getting, it's like having a... just a very calm, a dad that you don't know if he loves you.
Yeah.
As president,
I mean, he's like a groovy teacher that you really enjoyed in school and you learned a lot from. But you also know you could take 17 days off of, somehow.
Why are they always smoking? I always see them on school grounds.
I don't know. He feels like a great guy, smart guy, came into a high school in Kentucky in 1961,
right.
And
in
they
the
were not
months.
Ready for him. It's like, you're our new principal.
He's doing pretty good regardless.
Though.
That's the one thing that makes you that probably means that they're not gonna that Trump is not gonna be victorious in 2016. But part of me thinks he might become the Republican candidate.
I hope that Trump becomes. I mean, look, he has to. He's pissing off everybody, which is also great. It's idiocracy.
Well, they're just afraid, man. Those people are just afraid. He's telling it like it is. He's talking straight. He's not afraid to call people garbage cans.
Yeah, he's a cranky uncle.
Yeah, totally.
Well, people love that. Yeah. People love their cranky uncle.
Yeah,
by marriage.
But he also owns a steel manufacturing company, and he just gets to scream out whatever he wants, and nobody tells him to shut up.
Sure, come to the steel manufacturing.
manufacturing company I own. You're welcome there. We'll throw you in the hot burning metal.
I hate Mexicans. I love Mexicans.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
has he said he loves Mexicans?
He says they're great people. He has a lot of them that work for him. He will get the Mexican vote.
Right.
It's like, it's so unbelievable. Even the fact that so many Spanish language news places just went straight partisan as soon as that happened. So now, like, the anchors are like,
that's
so
the great
fuck
thing,
Donald man. Trump. But they're like announcing the news.
That's the great thing, is that he is like exposing everybody's like need to editorialize. And it's like, you can't as a reporter, even if you're like interviewing. It's like people want to like, it's crazy. So I love what he's doing. I really do. I love that he's exposing all this bullshit all around. Like, in every direction.
Well, that's it, because it's
while some point, being like this completely incompetent.
Yeah, idiot.
It's fantastic.
I guess it's so close to Gene Simmons or Snoop Dogg running for president. Mm-hmm. It's so close to that.
Yeah, Gene Simmons is another good example. If Gene Simmons, he is basically the Gene, like the what's his face? Seth Meyers described him as the a know-it-all at an OTB.
What?
Like, off-track betting. He has like the arrogance of a know-it-all at an OTB. And I was like, yeah, that's basically...
These people are idiots. They don't know about Lucky Lucy's...
That horse isn't going to win. Oh, it won? I won. He's always got an answer. He's great.
Well, are you writing on Hannibal's show now?
I was writing on Why with Hannibal Buress. Hannibal's great. He's
The news lately for obvious reasons. I
mean, for Sir William taking down Sir William Cosby.
He was the guy.
He mentioned something that everybody knew about Bill Cosby, but we're you know,
right. A lot of people knew about.
It's also Hannibal throws that kind of thing. The way he throws it out there is just so informal, and you know it. He can barely probably help himself. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's genuinely what he's thinking, and he's just saying it to this crowd.
Yeah, he took him to town. I mean, it was kind of like everything you want to know about Bill Cosby that is already out there, but you're afraid to look up again.
Right.
It was like the new Woody Allen movie. Ironically, Woody Allen's directing that movie. So, man, it's like, you know, here's what happened, though. I think he's like a fantastic mind and funny, really funny guy, and a specifically wonderful weirdo, and I think Comedy Central is just like, well, he's in the news with Cosby, let's fucking give him this show and everything. So there wasn't even a pilot for it.
They just gave him the show.
So we're figuring out the show while we're watching it. Writing it. And watching it, actually.
Sketch show? Or what is it?
And it's Man Up. There's some Streeters.
It's like, it's a hodgepodge of stuff. I mean, it's funny because like Hannibal mentioned it too on his show, but he was like, they said no to the pilot that I actually did, which was like this pilot of him going around America working odd jobs and just interacting with people. And they said no to that pilot, and they were like, based on us saying no on this pilot, how would you like to have a show?
And he's a stand-up more than anything else, too, which can be, you can't, like, they always try to do that with Comedy Central, where they, like, port a stand-up to, like, a completely, like, being on TV, and they're like, Anthony Jeselnik, here, let's just have you all be dark and, like, trade barbs for, like, a half hour.
Didn't he have a show for, like, a season or something?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I think what they do is I think what networks do in general, it's like, they'll just, like, kind of, I don't know, they'll dress up the person that they have obtained. They'll just go like, we're just going to put this on you and this on you and this on you. And the person comes out looking like looking like they're like a Zardoz cowboy from Zebulon 7.
And
high-heeled shoes. Hang in with this analogy, everyone. And then they go like, what do you think? And people are like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, sorry, you're out of here. And it's like, has nothing to do with the person who's at the center of these shows. And, you know, I just think that happens all the time. With Hannibal's show, it was, I think it was really finding itself, but it was only 8 episodes, and hopefully there's going to be another season. I loved writing on it, and I worked with great people, and there's like a lot of writers with great histories and
was the fat Jew in there in the mix?
Was he one of the writers? Was the head writer?
he didn't get his Comedy Central deal, but he was shoehorned into writing on
He was great, and there's like so many things that felt so familiar, but he had his own take on them.
Yeah,
he put his name on them.
I don't know. I think Hannibal's like a very, very unique person, and one of the more naturally funny, but he just responds naturally, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, he's a really, really funny guy. Like, he genuinely is.
Yeah.
So it's like, my instincts would be to just like, let somebody do a pilot.
He gets a season two. He gets season two, does a pilot before season
yeah,
two.
Yeah, I think season two should be the pilot. No, man, it's like it was a great experience. Like I was psyched to know that I was working with him, and I'd known him from before that, but I was mm-hmm. really fucking excited to. I just hate that networks kind of just like
right.
blast things out.
That you have to find your footing.
And you have to find your footing while you're doing it.
Yeah.
And like right. yeah, and then like to have to do that while you're on camera isn't easy.
It's kind of like with a band signing a record deal. Nowadays, you're not really given the opportunity to have like 2-3 bum records before you.
Yeah, find exactly. Your voice. Like that's exactly the thing too. It's like I was like, yeah, that's a really good point. I was like talking to somebody about that recently too, where it's just like, remember when bands used to like Thin Lizzy put out like
16
three
albums
yeah. before anybody
yeah.
had
before
a,
they before popped. They
really,
yeah,
yeah. And you go back and it's like, fuck, those are really good albums.
Yeah, the Bee Gees. the Bee Gees had a whole thing before they were, you
yeah,
know, super
man.
Famous.
Yeah.
Now it's just mm-hmm. like they come to you. Every network does this. Every network does this. It's just like there's like, we want something that's going to go viral. And I'm just like, well, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
What else do you want from Santa Claus?
Everybody wants
but
that.
What it does is it just reduces
every kid quality. Wants their favorite BB gun
yeah.
and Nintendo BB gun. Not behind the times, kids. They were still hanging. But yeah, everybody wants
the,
their
the
Nintendo BB guns and
the...
their PlayStation dresses and all their favorite stuff. And it's like, yes, wouldn't that be a wonderful world if you could just have what you wanted? And we could just magically make it happen. But it's like, so when they're just like, we want something viral. And it's like, great, that's good for you. That's what
but
you want. Huh?
What they're really saying is,
okay,
we
let's
want
change it up.
Spend,
we didn't want that,
want,
but now we
want our money made. We want our fail. Money made back immediately, is really what they're saying. We
yeah,
want to make our
like,
investment back as soon
but that's
as possible.
What,
they're also saying, like, know. We want to be relevant. Yeah. You make us relevant. And
yeah.
It's like, what, like... What do you do? I don't even know what kind
yeah.
of shoes you make. What do you
yeah.
do? I don't fucking get it. You're not a shoe company? Oh, you're not even in shoes. I thought you were in shoes.
And seasons are funny now, too, because people are sort of like, so they gave us a 2-episode order, and now we're going to season two for, we're doing a 1-episode
yeah.
order of season two.
Yeah.
You know, and season three is going to be, yeah. it's going to be half an episode. Season four is just going to be.
It's just like, everybody's just like, yeah, it's just, it's like being a baseball player.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you're going down to AAA or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yes.
And then it's like, and
but
then
it's always immediate.
Yeah, it's just like, you didn't go viral on TV, so we're sending you to the internet this season for your show. And it's like, what?
How did you meet up with Hannibal? Did he reach out to you going, Derek?
He asked me what I was doing in the spring. I was in the...
You were on Eric Andre, right?
I was on Eric Andre.
So you were writing for Eric Andre.
And Hannibal was on that show.
And Hannibal's on that show. And I did a lot of writing for Eric's show. And also fucking a great thing to write.
That's a cool show. That's a really awesome show.
I mean, it's just like, I get to, I had boxes and boxes of things I wanted to do. I pitched a show that was called No Fixed Address in Canada years ago.
I remember that.
That was about a talk. It was like my version of a talk show.
We spitballed on it.
Yeah, and then I wrote some talk show ideas for Adult Swim, and then because they were looking for a talk show, and then Eric got his show, and I was like, I have so many boxes of ideas up in my attic,
uh-huh.
in my yeah. brain, because I wanted to do a show like this, and I was like, this is the way to do it, and we all figured it out, and it became this fucking great thing. And I mean, like, and it's representative of Eric's energy and everything. So it's a fucking this perfect storm. And it's like, and anyways, that's how I got to know Hannibal. And then Hannibal, yeah, he texted me and said, "What are you doing this summer?" And I was like, "That is a, I like hearing that vague question from you.
What do you, what do you got in mind?"
Yeah. So that's what you, that's how you spent your summer.
Yeah,
doing was the writing show. On is the show. It airing now or like?
What, yeah,
it aired. Yeah,
yeah.
Started or?
It aired. I don't know if in Canada if you see that.
I saw one clip. I mean, I, it was, you, I got to watch it. It was like, it worked on my thing, and it was him interviewing on the street a religious guy who kept on bringing up guns and Jesse Jackson out of nowhere. Like, he was basically someone who was like, I don't know. It was crazy.
Yeah, check it out. There's chunks of it online.
Uh-huh. So it's called Why?
Why with Hannibal Buress.
Right. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was funny. I mean, it was just nice watching Hannibal be... I didn't watch any of the, like, sketches or stuff. It was, so it was just... That was basically just Hannibal being very much himself.
Yeah.
You know, talking with this guy. It was very entertaining.
And
also aggressive and kind of a bummer.
Also, you know, the last thing to the point of, like, how networks like to do things is it's like... It's also analogous to, like, when we go on that road trip together, all four of us best friends, we're going to check out every small town and do all this cool stuff, and we're going to do that, and then you just, you get into a fight and you blast through.
You're zooming past Las Vegas.
You're just like, you're just fucking eat a burrito.
Let's fucking, farting we can in the get car. Home in 36 hours. So let's not always, sleep.
So you're always, everybody, they're like, yeah, yeah, wouldn't that be, and the network's the one who owns the car and wants to get the road trip together, and you're like, this sounds great, and then when you're on the road trip, it was like, I don't have any money for gas.
Why you got money is, why for that gas? Is the only exact you got from a gas station?
That's the exact relationship with a band and a label. Record label.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, we want you guys to do you. Even like Mark McGrath told me when when you do you, they're like, nah, that's not what we're looking for. And Mark McGrath told me that when he was doing Extra, which is why I wanted to get him for Hot Package, because the first season I had the first season I had Pat O'Brien, and then I got so. He said, I was like, what was that like? He's like, it was trippy. They said they were looking for me and my energy and me to do what I do and just don't change a thing. And he goes, so he showed up for work as him.
Backwards hat, himself, 47 years old.
Being himself. And he was like, no, but he was like, they said to him right away, like, no, that's not what you're going to be doing.
Right,
you're gonna be this guy, and he's like, "But that's not me."
No, we actually sourced your energy. You don't even have your energy right. We've got your DNA here. Yeah. This is your energy.
Here, drink this.
going back to Hot Package, you also had David Cho, and I know there's a Vice connection.
There's
with
a Vice
you
connection with
Cho.
Me and David, and so, I've known David for years.
Yeah, and I'm like, DVD ASA is my favorite podcast.
Yeah,
I love what he's trying to do.
He did
or what he was trying to do.
He did a great thing with Vice years ago when we started up Vice TV.
Right.
When I started up, and he would just go hitchhiking.
Right.
And
just with like his buddy,
that's
right?
That's crazy.
Yeah. With a buddy of his?
It was really good. It was really good.
Was that TV? Was that like Vice TV kind of stuff? Or
yeah, like
VBS?
Early VBS.
Yeah.
But I keep talking to him about us doing something. Like, we're constantly like, we got to do blah, blah, blah. So hopefully they'll...
Here's my thing about David. Like, listening to his podcast, he always says he hates Canadians. Is that just a thing? What is that? And I'm like, well, you're aligned with Vice.
Yeah,
now you're on Derek's Hot Package.
It's probably because he's been surrounded by so many Canadians. He's built up this loathing.
He's not the only one. Americans hate Canadians generally.
Americans love Canadians because we're so nice and everything.
Yeah.
And then they're just like,
they get to know us.
And they get to know us.
And they realize the niceness.
Fucking evil.
It's actually just this like chocolate veneer over like a suppository that is not like a harmful suppository.
Yeah, like a cat's dick.
Like a cat's barb.
A chocolate nice going cat's in, dick. Not nice coming out.
I would know.
But yeah, like, what's the deal with Cho?
I asked him to be on the show. It was like for this segment where we were supposed to do the salute to Hollywood. I have to like shoot my show so quickly. Like, we have so little time to fucking shoot it. You hear that, network? Give me more time. But it's like the amount that we get done, like, it speaks volumes to, like, Absolutely, which is Tim and Eric's production company and the people who work over there. We literally pull off a fucking miracle whenever we make that show, and we cram so much in. In the second season, people started finding it more, and they're just like, holy fuck, this show has so much in it, which I love. It's just like a discovery process. And when I asked Cho to be on the show, it was for this segment that I was going to do this Salute to Hollywood, and I was going to do the Salute to Hollywood in blackface, because I like doing stuff in blackface whenever I have the opportunity. I've been doing it for several years, and I love the redundancy of a... I'm afflicted with partial blackness.
PB. So,
yeah, PB. There's a PB and J joke in there somewhere. Right. I was like, oh, fuck.
PB and J, that's you.
Yeah, that's me. So, I love PB and Jewish. Yeah. Part black and Jewish.
There we go. Whoa!
We did it,
PB
man.
PB and J. God.
Right here.
Yeah. I wanted to do it in blackface, and then the standards and practices were like, no, we don't know about that. And I was like, I know about it. Let me do blackface.
The problem with a half-Jewish guy in blackface, or it would be the reason why we can't laugh at Derek Beckles in blackface.
These are articles that they're
picturing.
So I ended up just wearing no shirt and putting this caricature of African tribal. Yeah, it was worse. I was like, I'm just gonna step it up, and they're like, as long as it's not blackface, as long as you're just making presuming every African person walks around in a grass
skirt. The shirt's cool.
And has paint around their nipples.
The shirt's
and
erotic.
War paint on. That's fine. So I did that, and David Cho came out as this Oriental, the kind of person, a guy who's like, there's Chinaman food in my town. Yeah, there, you got these Orientals make Chinaman food. It's pretty good.
Yeah, the way that racist stereotyping of Asian people's eyes was so off on their eyes. It was so an Asian person intentionally squinting is the white representation circa World War II, let's say. And it's so fucked up.
It's that Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah, it's Mickey Rooney. I had him come out as Mickey Rooney essentially in Breakfast at Tiffany's. Awesome. And then the whole thing spirals out of control, and our Salute to Hollywood is just a fucking mess.
I saw a clip of it. He's wearing some sort of Japanese Rising Sun head bandana.
Yeah. Yeah. With wooden whatchamacallit.
Oh, sandals. But
sandals and it was
thongs,
just like
clogs.
Clogs. It was a horrible
that's awesome.
And then Jeremy Evanstein comes out, and he comes out as a cowboy, and we're like, cowboys a Hollywood cowboy slaughtered Hollywood Indians. What are you doing? And then it falls off the rails. We get mad at him for being racist.
That's a big part of Hot Package, is these sort of moments of stress where somebody is in,
I like to make it
nowhere.
I like to make it very stressful, and I like to pretend like I'm making an entertainment magazine show that is I'm pretending it's a story arc. So, which is what made me laugh and made Laszlo laugh and everything when we embarked on this endeavor 8,000 years ago. And so, that's what I love doing, is squeezing a bullshit arc into a 15-minute entertainment show where there's something going on, there's some sort of conflict and rising conflict, and then there's going to be a resolution. Yeah. And it's what? Why are you fucking doing that?
Dispatch, We just got word.
Then I recently just did this sitcom pilot with Courtney Love.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Called The Hopes.
What?
Yeah. Anyways, so I did this show with Courtney Love called The Hopes. She plays my wife. Bobby J. Thompson is one of our sons. This other kid, Jack Knight, is our other son.
Bobby J. Thompson of the Shutterbugs.
Of the Shutterbugs.
The
Human
Giant
thing
from years ago.
Fucking genius. So.
Wow.
How
game is she?
She was. That
sounded sexual.
A loaded
question in nature.
Well,
So, dude, is she game?
No,
I did not know that would be such an accurate impression of you that I would suddenly.
Is that me?
Game, dude.
Sorry, I'm looking. I shouldn't be doing. Now I'm just looking through my. This is great radio. My phone.
I'll just do my impression of you introducing.
You make me sound
Beckles
like a
the first time I'm
at the beach. That's amazing. I'll send it and to you. The best part is your wig.
She's good at angling her head. Wig.
I'm not even looking at her.
And are you in blackface? That's amazing. One I can't remember.
No, I'm wearing camouflage paint because I'm a conspiracy theorist and a Tea Party member. My wife, Courtney Love. Runs a modeling agency. And we live in Clive. The town of Clive, which is like half an hour outside of Des Moines.
Well, see, the thing is, when
I'm obsessed with Des Moines, and then I found out there's a town close to Des Moines called Clive, and I was
Iowa.
That's where we're from.
Well, when I think of you and anyone attached to you, I always put them on the set of Hot Package. So obviously, this is an actual sitcom. This isn't any.
This is a Hot Package. This is a horrible sitcom.
Right.
It's got everything you need from a sitcom. And again, I love pretending that there's a story arc. I love writing things that actually do have real stories.
Laugh track?
And there's a laugh track. But again, this is like, I just plow through the storyline really quickly. And then, there's nothing. It's just a bunch of events connected. It's like, I've wanted to make a stream of consciousness sitcom for a long time. And I did this one, and I want to keep making like these weird streams.
How was it working with Courtney Love?
What do you mean exactly?
What I mean is like, I mean, yeah, you could
slack.
You could, yeah, but I mean, like, it's
you go with
sitcoms have gotten to the point where they essentially to me feel like they're just stream of consciousness, like
you were. Sure.
The way I do it and the way I've been writing it is just like everything's motivated by somebody's action.
Yeah.
So somebody comes through the doors and is like, guys, the bikini chicks are here to wash the cars, you know? And then you go outside and there's the bikini chicks there and then you're washing the car and it's like, oh my God, I'm late for that appointment down at the shooting range, you know? And then it's like,
there's something to.
And then somehow at the end of it,
I feel like there's some sort of
resolution.
Yeah, but it's not a resolution. Yeah, or if it is, it's like not even Deus Ex Machina. It's like, and I feel like there's some kind of base in movies like John Waters post Hairspray. He kind of had this weird like Pecker and Crybaby specifically have that to them where they're in that form. And a lot of his other movies, but you know, it's in a cookie cutter that's then. You're just filling it with some cookie.
It's great because some other stuff, you know, believe
rocks,
and if they believe, you believe. So it's just like if it's kind of like if you have the essence of building it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it doesn't even have to be built.
How is Courtney Love?
Looks like
to,
it's being built. They'll come.
How was Courtney Love to work with?
She was great.
That's what I meant by rolling with.
Yeah, she was. She was the first thing she said was, "I almost didn't show up." I'm just making. Now she sounds like Knoxville.
I know.
And then,
hey, nice.
So, and then she showed me the text, and then
Baby
she goes,
Marvin.
"Is this a sitcom?" And I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "With a laugh track?" And I was like, "Yep." And she goes, "Fuck!" And walks away. And I was like, "Oh." And then there's like, to be honest, 95% of me was just like, "Awesome." This is why I have her here.
Yeah.
I fucking love her. So, and then like as the day went on, she totally got it and thought it was great. And at the end, she was like very, very. She was like honestly amazing. She was like really. She was really funny. She's a funny comedic actor, and she once she was rolling with it, she totally got it.
She looks like she's having a great time in it.
She got a lot of the clips. Yeah, she got. I mean, like she got like this the weird nebulous world it was supposed to exist in, without me. And the point of having her on there wasn't to like point and laugh at her ever.
Mm-hmm.
She did exactly what I was hoping she would do, and it was like
I was taking a chance because
you don't know if somebody's gonna be able to work within these like really specific kind of parameters where you want people to. Not be like to be unflapped, you know, about what's going on in the universe and play it completely straight without playing to it like you're playing it straight without injecting, you know, everything needs to be
ideally. They're doing that, but it's
they don't know that it's actually working on a third level, and their attempt at meta or whatever and heightening it is actually also so odd.
That it somehow works with it.
There's no winks to the camera.
There's zero winking.
Or though, if they are trying to wink, it's a fucked up wink. Like both their eyes winking.
Yeah, I mean, like it's winking. In the sitcom, in the Hopes, there's the winking that goes on is that. The catchphrases are so atrocious, you know?
And it's very presentational to the camera. Every
How do
take,
you know about this?
I may have seen it somehow. But how is this on? Downloaded it from Kazaa.
Oh, private links?
Yeah, Naxxter. Yeah.
No, but here's my thing is, you've shot one episode, the pilot.
Yes, I did.
What happens if it doesn't get picked up? What happens to that pilot? I think there's a whole legion of
totally critiqued people. Your last pilot.
Oh, no, it's going to be released. What I want to do is just put it in festivals. So I'm putting it in a couple festivals, and then after that, there's already people who are interested in it. So the whole thing is to just get more of them made, which is going to happen.
Oh my
god,
it sounds amazing! Well, can't wait to hear about season 3 of Hot Package.
Yeah,
Hot Package, suck it back.
It's a fucking great show. It did really well this year. I'm excited about making more of them. So,
thanks, Derek. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
Thanks. Woo!
I faded it out for you, so you don't have to do that.